Now, from the left coast to the D.C. Beltway, covering the topics you love to hate and hate to miss, it's the Silk or Joe Show.
Welcome, everybody, to the Silk or Joe Show. Happy to have you this Saturday afternoon. Assuming that you're still able to breathe the air around you, we'll get into that in a moment. First, I want to thank the Main Street Radio Network for allowing the Silk or Joe Show to exist. Always happy to be on the air because of them. And sometimes we disagree with them over content, and sometimes their sponsors disagree with them over content. But all the same, they still have us on, have our backs, and we appreciate that. So we want to give them a big thanks. We also want to thank the Salem Radio Network for distributing this program. Now, you can also find out about the Main Street Radio Network at mainstreetradionetwork.com. It's a very good website. Go check them out there. Go find out about this show and our sister show, The Alan Nathan Show, up there as well. And you can find them on Facebook at Main Street Radio Network, Twitter at Main Street Radio, or for The Alan Nathan Show on Twitter at Alan Nathan. As far as this show goes, it's on Getter, GETTR.com at Silk or Joe Show. But again, you can find posts about us on Main Street Radio Network's Facebook page sometimes. All right, on to the topics for today. You finally may have heard about the terrific train crash in Ohio that led to a very stupid effort to clean up the chemicals that had an enormous environmental impact, environmental cost. Absolutely horrible. But it's not the only thing going on at this time. There's also been a 5-acre fire in Florida at a warehouse that stored plastic plant pots. Oh my gosh, I'm not going to say that 5 times fast. And apparently flames at least 2 stories high have been shooting out of that. Residents are with breathing issues are being told to stay at home. Meanwhile, there has been another train derailment in Michigan. So what's going on with our infrastructure here? You'd think that our transportation secretary, you know, perhaps he has nothing to do with the warehouse fire, unless that was some issue related to transportation. But it is interesting that we have another toxic chemical fire going on in such short order after the Ohio one. And this second train derailment, well, where's the transportation secretary at? It's a very curious thing that he's gone missing. So, well, we don't know. Now, I will talk a little bit about this train derailment here, because Norfolk Southern, and that is the train derailment in Ohio, Norfolk Southern, their execs actually wanted to stay away from a community town hall down there out of fear of safety. Now, you might recall how this fear of their safety because they're scared that protesters are going to be mad at them has been used before by teacher associations. How that was actually, they were told by the Biden administration to do that so that the Biden administration could label parents protesting critical race theory and pornography in schools as terrorists. It seems like this playbook might be playing out with Norfolk Southern, and either that or they're just using that fear of safety as a generic excuse to stay away from angry people who they just screwed over. Not quite sure which at this time, especially because of Norfolk Southern's ties to the government, and also just how the government has been trying to shove this all under the rug. So it actually would be in the interests of them to label protesters as terrorists, so that way they can get everyone to shut up and be quiet. We'll see where this goes. But this is in their playbook as to how they can handle situations that are negative to their cause and negative to their self-image. Just label anyone who's opposed as a terrorist and tell them to shut up or arrest them or have the FBI track them. So, and it looks like that's how they're playing out now with the help of Norfolk Southern's executives. And because of the semi-regulated train industry, there is a strong tie between the government and Norfolk Southern. And there is actually a bipartisan effort to shove this whole thing under the rug. The Republican governor of Ohio is saying show's over, nothing to see here, as much as the EPA is, as much as the transportation secretary is, as much as Norfolk Southern is. Yeah, at this time, they're all saying, hey, you can go home now, no problems here. And then now that people are going home and seeing that there are severe problems, animals dying all over the place, suddenly they're terrorists if they want to complain about it. Or at least that seems to be where they're going with this, as indicated by Norfolk Southern's fear for their safety and why they avoided the community. And meanwhile, the Biden EPA seems to not care at all. They see no problem with animals dying and very clear contamination. Gee whiz, you don't think a several miles high mushroom cloud of chemicals with videos of those chemicals raining down on the countryside, you don't think that that's an environmental issue? Evidently not. Not according to the Biden EPA. You know, the same EPA that is very concerned that you are driving a gas car. That same EPA who says one gas car is too many. They're saying that a mushroom cloud miles high spreading contaminants 10 miles radius is okay. Talk about sweeping things under the rug. And the only reason the national media doesn't seem to be covering this disaster, the only reason national media started covering this disaster is because it got picked up from the local news. There was no reporting on this major disaster at first, one that could be linked to the Biden administration, one that the Biden administration is trying to cover up, even if it means thousands may die. So where is that transportation secretary, you know, in charge of the rails that led to this? Well, at the time, for the first week or so of this, he was crying about how there's too many white people in construction work. And now he is saying that actually this is the Trump administration's fault somehow. We are 2 years into the Biden administration, yet it's the Trump administration's fault. Well, maybe if the transportation secretary wasn't spending so much time away from the office or so much time focused on racist roads, he might actually have looked into whether or not our infrastructure was functioning. He had 2 years to do it. How hard can that be to find out that your infrastructure is crumbling? Well, apparently very hard if you spend 6 months away from the job. That's a quarter of the time that he's been there. He hasn't been there for a quarter of the time that he's been there. And it seems that what he's done while he's been there is to just do some woke crap, and that's it. Hadn't bothered to actually do his job as transportation secretary, and now he's saying, oh, it's the previous guy. No, it's your fault, because you've been there for 2 years now. You didn't find out that a major rail line had this big of a flaw after 2 years? Really? Norfolk Southern isn't like some rinky-dink local mom-and-pop operation. They've been around for many decades. But the transportation secretary had no problem with this. Had no problem with anything up until now. Now it's all Trump's fault somehow. The guy's been gone for 2 years. You didn't do your job, so you blame the last guy. Of course. And Democrats laugh that crap up because they figure, well, you know what? We can't blame the current administration. Oh, no, we're just going to blame someone else for it. Because, and again, this excuse is pretty pathetic, because if you are blaming Trump for it, then that means, what have you been doing for the last 2 years, right? This idiot in charge of the transportation. No wonder that this country's infrastructure is crumbling. And his focus is not even, he's not even going to use this as a learning lesson either. As a learning experience is what I was trying to say. He's just going to go right back to doing what he was doing, focusing on wokeness and how there's too many white construction workers and racist infrastructure and all that garbage, and instead of actually making sure that we don't have major chemical spills again. Because that's what he does. That's all he knows how to do. That's why he was appointed to that job in the first place. All he did was check off a few woke points. Oh, first K transportation secretary. Okay, yep, you're in now. And here's your consolation prize for running for president and not stomping a mud hole into Biden's back. You're going to be transportation secretary. You know, put that on your resume. Maybe run in 4 years or something. That's all it was. There was nothing to do with qualification here. And that's why we're having a chemical spill, and why potentially thousands of people are going to be affected in the long term. Oh, don't worry. Our transportation secretary will be long gone by the time the long-term side effects of this are known. By the time the cancers start developing, he's going to be long gone by then. You're not going to be able to hold him liable. He's going to get away with it. He's going to get a pat on the back, Presidential Medal of Freedom or some garbage too, I bet. Whereas the people are just going to have cancer for their troubles, because the transportation secretary was an incompetent numbnuts. And the media has been very happy to help this. Happy to help the transportation secretary, the EPA, and a Republican governor, the governor of Ohio, try to cover all this up. Now, under Trump, this would be the news of the day. The Trump transportation secretary lets people die. Trump EPA lies to cover up, etc. But it's Biden. It's their big guy. So they hit it and hoped no one will notice. This disaster is felt at least 10 miles in any direction. Why is it that Democrat administrations are so known for ecological disasters anyway? They're the ones who are supposed to be saving the environment. There were none under Trump. Meanwhile, under Obama, you had the BP oil spill and the Colorado situation where the EPA destroyed the Gold King mine deliberately, which destroyed a beautiful blue river. It's yellow now. The EPA tried to cover that up too. Trying to say that turning a clear, clean river into something that looked like orange juice when you took put it in a cup. I don't know if you've noticed how even the muddiest of rivers, sometimes if you stick it in a nice little bottle, it's such a small concentration that it's still clear. Not with this. You stick this river in the bottle, it looks like orange juice. And that's the EPA's fault. They did that. They actually threatened the owner of the mine with a $37,000 fine unless they let them pollute the river. And the EPA was warned that it would happen. They did it anyway. And that's the Democrat EPA, the one that's supposed to protect the environment. What are they doing? Folks, more Silk or Dish after the break.
The new Mayo Clinic diet has been named among the top diets by U.S. News & World Report. Dr. Donald Hensrud, medical director of the Mayo Clinic Healthy Living Program, explains what makes their program so effective.
Our new Mayo Clinic diet, built by a team of doctors and medical experts, focuses less on counting calories and more on empowering users with the knowledge and ability to maintain a healthy weight.
Members get access to exclusive content and videos from real Mayo Clinic doctors, healthy recipes, tracking tools, and the popular Habit Optimizer that helps users substitute old unhealthy habits with healthier ones, all through a mobile app.
Instead of fad diets or crash diets that rarely work for very long, our book and online program and app helps you adopt principles for a healthier way of life, which is really the secret to long-term success.
Curious to know how healthy your diet is? The Mayo Clinic has an easy 3-minute quiz. Go to mayoclinicdiet.com to find out.
Vitamin B12 is important for supporting not only our metabolism, but also our energy levels. Our brain and our nerves need certain vitamins like B12 in order to function properly. Even if you're eating all the healthy foods like fruits and vegetables and getting, you know, great sources of protein, it's sometimes the case that you can become deficient in one or more nutrient, and that's where supplements can be helpful. So if you want to support your B12 levels, Jarrow's methyl B12 is a great supplement to consider to optimize your B12 levels. This type of B12 is recognized by the body, so it's delivered to your cells more efficiently. It's also been shown that it is a great way to make sure that you're getting a highly absorbed form of vitamin B12 and one that's going to be retained better than other types of B12. You can learn more at jarrow.com.
My name is Judy Teeter, and I'm the mother of three boys. My youngest, Joe, was a great kid. He loved sports, music, and his youth group. One day, Joe asked me to drive him to an after-school event, which was about a mile from our home. I was driving through a green light when a car in cross traffic ran a red light and drove right into the side of our car, killing Joe. The driver was talking on her phone, so she never even saw the red light. She was so absorbed in her phone call. Before the crash, I didn't realize just talking on a cell phone while driving was so dangerous. Now it's something I think about every day. According to the National Safety Council, about 1 in 4 car crashes involves a cell phone. Hands-free is no safer. When you're behind the wheel, put away your phone. For Joe and for the thousands of needless deaths every year. Remember, there is no safe way to talk on a cell phone while driving. Find out more at nsc.org/callskill.
Adopt US Kids presents Multiple Choice Parenting.
Your daughter just had her first breakup. Do you A, put yourself in her shoes?
How could he do this to you? And for Sheila, she has split ends.
B, console her.
Oh, sweetie, this is going to happen a lot. 4, maybe 5 more times before you get married.
C, take charge.
Got to get this all straightened out. Give him a little talking to man, mano a mano. Hey, Steve. It's now a good time? No? Okay, no problem. Bye.
Or D, help her find a new boyfriend.
I know a great place to meet boys. The internet. Nice, single boys. Never mind. How about some ice cream?
As a parent, there are no perfect answers. But you don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same.
For more information on how you can adopt, visit AdoptUSKids.org, a public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUS Kids, and the Ad Council.
I think the biggest challenge for lawmakers here as they talk about these sort of huge ideas of American democracy and sort of the experiment that we're all living and benefiting from possibly being brought to his knees is whether or not they can make people care, Andrea. There are so many things that people are juggling between gas prices and inflation, baby formula, abortion, and the shootings that are happening. These lawmakers are going to try to now have a narrative to focus the country's attention to say, look at this thing. Do not turn away and understand that while all those other things are really, really important, the foundation of our country, what makes our country function, is a democracy that we have to protect.
All right. Welcome back to the Silker Joe Show, everybody. That idiot you just heard telling you that protecting democracy is more important than, say, chemical spills was Yamiche Alcindor. She was at the time part of PBS NewsHour. She has now been promoted to NBC. And, you know, I'm going to go ahead and say that that's a promotion because there is a lot of interchange between PBS, NBC, CBS, the whole liberal media. So, and they all seem to be an aspect of the Democratic Party. So I'm going to go ahead and say that that's more of like an internal promotion going from PBS to NBC than it is changing jobs and switching venue, as it would be the case in anywhere else. And joining us now to talk about this person that they just added, Jeffrey Dickens. He is Director of Media Analysis at the Media Research Center. Jeffrey, happy to have you. How are you today?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on.
And so what do you make of, what does this say about NBC, that they would hire this hack who says that overthrowing democracy is more important than, I don't know, making sure that there's not a big chemical spill? She's the one who said outright that the Biden administration were Avengers undoing, the superheroes undoing the craziness of the GOP. Yet we're now seeing what the Biden administration looks like, and that's the sort of thing she thinks is, are the heroes. Big chemical spills that contaminate tens of thousands of miles or square yards of acreage and all that.
Right. Well, here at Newsbusters, we felt like we needed to put together a compilation of some of the worst of Yamiche. This is just some of the worst of the worst. There's plenty of files of her saying very obnoxious things about conservatives and Republicans, and but at the other, on the other hand, praising, like you pointed out, Joe Biden as a moral, decent man, and his cabinet are full of Avengers saving America from these the Republicans' craziness. And I think you're right what you said earlier about PBS going from PBS to NBC. It is a promotion, even though they're two different networks. You know, she's been splitting her time between PBS and NBC, and now NBC is like, hey, just bring your bias on over here full time. You don't need to work for the PBS anymore. And that's kind of what we've seen here at the MRC over the years since we've been founded in 1987. Is if you want to, if you're a journalist and you want to be promoted and really sort of raise your profile and land a big job at CNN, MSNBC, NBC, ABC, or CBS, is you bring the bias and you start filling your supposed hard news stories with a lot of bias, a lot of your opinion, and it's always leftist opinion. That's what gets you hired. That's what gets you promoted at these networks.
Right, and certainly doesn't do much for getting actual information out to the public. We saw that with NBC's own coverage of the Ohio chemical spill. They didn't even bother paying attention to it when it first broke out. It wasn't until they right. couldn't pay attention to it, that is, they couldn't not pay attention to it, that they finally started airing coverage of it.
Yeah, absolutely. But, you know, this is someone that, like, she, you know, PBS has this reputation of being kind of staid, boring, and dull, if you will. But, you know, she says things like, you know, Rush Limbaugh, is the late great Rush Limbaugh, was the face of racism, and she said that the GOP is basically, she said that America is going through a crisis like Ukraine is currently going through because of the GOP's attack on, like, democracy. And so I just think this is just, it's par for the course, and sadly, tragically, it was in terms of how you you get promoted. And you become obnoxious against conservatives and Republicans, and she's been rewarded for it. And I would not be surprised. It's in this article. I would not be surprised if she ends up getting like a primetime gig, maybe even her own show, like Rachel Maddow or Don Lemon or Joy Reid.
Yeah, just or maybe she replaces Joy Reid.
Right.
I've heard that she's been a little bit toxic over there in the backstage. But this does say a lot about NBC and PBS's priorities that they would keep this person on at all after she starts going off on these insane rants.
Yes. Well, and again, like you said, if this kind of venom gets you hired, gets you promoted, and gets you hired, and it will not get you fired. It will not get you suspended. So this is par for the course. And I urge your listeners to go check out. It's we've got the video clips. We've got the quotes all here ready to go for you.
Now, when you put them together, was this like what you expected from her, or was there anything in there that like particularly stunned you, like, and made you wonder why is this person still employed? Like, even seemed over the top for a left-wing activist journalist.
No, sadly, I think we've been following her career for a while now. This is pretty much what I expected to see here. This look at Joy Reid. I mean, look at what Don Lemon says on a daily, nightly basis. Daily basis. He got moved to the morning show now. But this is par for the course. Sadly, it's I like to say, she's an outlier. No, she's right in line. Like I said, don't be surprised if NBC goes, hey, you're really really venomous against Republicans. We like. What you're saying? We'll give you a primetime gig.
Now, what does this say for the future of journalism, though? People are seeing this message. They're saying this is how you get promoted in the industry, by being so hateful. And maybe people who actually aren't particularly hateful, they might put up the act just so they can get a better job.
Right. Yeah, it's sad, but I mean, this is where the so-called mainstream media has been for the last, 30, 40 years. I don't see it changing anytime soon. And the irony is, if you look at the success of say a Fox News or even some of the other outlets that have come around like Newsmax, and you see the ratings, you look at someone like Greg Gutfeld, who's now I was watching the Super Bowl, Fox News is running the new King of Late Night, and he's right. Greg Gutfeld has higher ratings than Colbert and Fallon and Kimmel, and you think that just from a business sense that these networks would see that and go, oh, we want more viewers, let's maybe turn right a little bit. No, they don't.
I think that the problem is that they don't seem to be particularly tied to the content on their program or consequences of not having viewers. And perhaps part of that is just this bias like, oh, ABC, NBC, CNN, those are such long-standing authoritative networks. They've been around for so long obviously, they must have high viewership or something. Like, people aren't really checking into the product that they're buying when they put an ad on there.
Yeah, right. And one of the things we do here at the MRC is it's called we have an ad project here, and we want to let our readers know, what are the companies that are sponsoring some of this liberal filth.
All right. Jeffrey Dickens, appreciate you being on the Silk or Joe Show today. He is Director of Media Analysis at the Media Research Center. Listeners, you can go check them out during the break, unless Google is pulling some crap again like they did a few years ago where they stopped any results from the Media Research Center from showing up. But we do have more Silk or Joe Show coming up soon.
It has been over 30 years since Hurricane Andrew devastated South Florida. That storm marked the beginning of the Home Depot being a hub for help during disasters, a tradition that continues today. To commemorate those efforts, the company is releasing a new film called Hope Builds. Briar Waterman, Senior Director, Creative Design of the Home Depot.
Drawing from interviews and using archive footage, we trace the origin, growth, and sophistication of the Home Depot's disaster relief efforts, demonstrating it is deeply connected to the values of the company and our unwavering support to our communities during their times of need. Whether it be a veteran in need or a community devastated by a natural disaster, Home Depot associates go beyond the job, beyond the 9-to-5, to make sure that their neighbors and communities are taken care of. This documentary is a prime example.
To learn more about the film or for help creating your emergency supply kit, visit your local Home Depot or thehomedepot.com/hopebills.
We definitely want to make sure that we don't overfeed our animals, because feeding our animals more is not love. You know, there's so many other ways you can show love, like throwing a ball and walking them and give them a little extra love.
The annual End Obesity campaign by Hills is wonderful for a guy like me and Dr. Hodges, who are practicing veterinarians, because it's obesity, like you said, is one of those illnesses or conditions that we see most in the veterinary hospital. And it can be very difficult sometimes talking to clients about, you know, their patient being obese, you know. But Hills, with their campaign, have given us the tool to be able to get this message across. And it's something that they do annually. They've invested a lot of time, a lot of money into the research, into the pet food that we can use to help these animals that are obese.
So you can go to endpetobesity.com and you can learn a whole lot more about how you can actually use the love test, as well as learn more about Hill's pet nutrition and ways to control your pet's weight.
Hi, it's Practical Polly's radio show. If you're just figuring out that healthier cooking oils are better than solid fats, you may be asking, now what am I going to do with all these tubs of lard? Ever had one of those moments when your favorite skinny jeans feel too tightly tailored? Generously apply lard to your hips and thighs, and those fancy pants will slide on like a dream. Or here's a family-friendly idea. How about making your yard into a lard fun park? Frost your driveway with a nice thick coating and give those kiddos a downhill thrill no matter what time of year. Having a bad hair day? Yep. A little lump of lard can tame your flyaways in a jiffy. So there's no need for that lard to go to waste or to your waste. But get your best heart-healthy trade-up with healthier oils like canola, olive, or other vegetable oils, which can actually lower your chances for heart disease. Now that's a tip worth keeping for life. Learn more at heart.org/facethefats. Canola Info is the national supporter of the American Heart Association's Face the Fats campaign.
No word in the English language is less convincing than probably.
Are you sure we should get matching tattoos on our first date?
Sure. We'll probably stay together.
Probably? It's been 23 minutes since I ate. I can probably swim.
You should wait 30 minutes.
Okay, now tell me what to do. Cannonball! Cramp! Oh, I have a cramp. I can probably hit the green from here.
Probably.
Can I get a mulligan?
Ready to go?
Hey, are you sure you're okay to drive?
Yeah, I'm pretty sober. Yeah, I'm probably okay.
Probably okay isn't okay, especially when it comes to drinking and driving. If you're drinking, call a cab, a car, or a friend. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
The mission of Paralyzed Veterans of America is clear. Accessibility. Veterans who have served and sacrificed the best of themselves deserve access to the best our country has to offer. Access to meaningful employment. Access to the veterans' benefits they've earned. Accessible homes and vehicles. And access to every part of their communities. With PVA staff working inside VA hospitals, no other veterans organization has provided more real-time, ongoing support for paralyzed veterans and their families. PVA is proud to serve veterans across all branches, all generations, and all conflicts. Our nation's heroes fought for your independence. Join PVA in fighting for theirs at pva.org.
Welcome back to the Silk Word Joe Show, everybody. Co-host Joe here with you all right now. So, we are, you might have noticed that the New York Times has gotten a little bit of flack right now from, surprisingly enough, celebrities in the trans community. You might be wondering what the heck they did. And even GLAAD's going at them. You might be wondering what the heck they did to piss off their friends. Well, here's what they did. They ran a front page story in November that acknowledged that so-called gender-affirming drugs for transgender kids could cause permanent physical and emotional damage. And they also ran a story in January reporting on parents who have discovered their children have become transgendered behind their backs with the help of schools. And I'm just quoting an article on Breitbart that's summarizing the New York Times pages because I'm not a subscriber to the New York Times. So that's all they did. They and left has been very proud that their schools have been taking children behind the backs of parents. In fact, Dr. Rachel Levine, whatever job she has in the government, health official or whatever, admiral, I think they called her or whatever. She actually said that transgender kids need to replace their support their non-supportive parents with a supportive adult of some kind. And I'm sure that she has much experience with replacing parents because she's the one who, when back during COVID, she moved her mother from a senior home. And then as health secretary of Pennsylvania, she moved her mother from a senior home and then ordered that senior home to put a bunch of COVID patients into its walls, which killed off a bunch of seniors in there. So she knows a lot about separating children from parents, in that case, lethally. So, of course, she's out there bragging that this is what needs to happen, that things need to be done behind the backs of parents. So I don't understand why the left is reacting as it is to New York Times exposing, hey, this you're doing exactly what you say you need to be doing. That is schools helping kids transition without informing the parents at all. And they're being called bigots for saying what's being done. And they're also being called bigots for saying that the gender affirming drugs for transgender kids cause permanent damage in physically and emotionally. In other words, you're a bigot if you state plain fact. You're a bigot if you are actually concerned for the health of kids. Interesting. I'm also not quite certain where the left is going with this, because it seems they're going straight into pedophilia. Here's what I'm getting at. They're saying that these kids, 3 years old, as young as three sometimes, actually they have doctors saying that in the womb a kid knows whether or not it's transgender. They had a hospital, I think it was Johns Hopkins, that issued these guidelines that said actually kids know in the womb that they are transgendered. And things to look out for are basically the list that Johns Hopkins has of transgender indications is if they violate any kind of gender stereotype. That is, if your little girl likes to play with toy soldiers or your little boy likes to play Barbie dolls, that means they're transgender. Doesn't mean that they're, you know, just playing around as kids. It doesn't mean that they might grow up to perhaps be a homosexual of some flavor. No, it means they are transgender. So pay for these expensive surgeries and put them on drugs for the rest of their lives. And so it seems to be a very big push from the medical industry to make kids transgender when they aren't. Conflate all sorts of different indicators so that you think that a kid who might just grow up to be normal, might just grow up to be perhaps homosexual, nothing wrong with any of that. In fact, make you think that they're transgendered. So before they can even make up their mind, before they're mature enough to make up their mind, you just pump them up on drugs and start mutilating their bodies and hope for the best. And you're a bigot if you aren't. And here's another thing. In the psychiatric and psychological fields, there actually is a difference. Psychiatrists are licensed to practice medicine to some extent, can make prescriptions. Psychologists cannot, so that's why I got to differentiate the two there. But in those fields of mental health, if a patient comes in and says they are transgendered, you can lose your license if you say otherwise, if you disagree in any way. Even if the person doesn't have any indications of that, even if that person has indications that it's any of a dozen other mental illnesses that are making them think that they're transgender when they really aren't, you cannot disagree with them. You'll lose your license. And then you won't get employment anywhere else because you'll be labeled a bigot on social media and become totally toxic. No one will want to touch you. And that is no doubt at the behest of Big Pharma, who controls our medical industry. Let's face it. That's the reason why universal healthcare, single payer systems, all that ain't going to work in this country, because the medical industry is just so horribly corrupt. We saw that even with Obamacare, where the Democrats said that was an attempt to lead into single payer. Senator Harry Reid said that. In fact, they couldn't do much of anything because of how corrupt the medical industry has become. That's why when you go to the hospital, you see the bill, $69 for one pill of aspirin. Such a ridiculous fee, right? Well, you don't see it. You don't actually pay it because you pay the insurance company. And there's just huge chunks of change, overpriced equipment that's like probably worth like a dollar that they say is worth $10,000. That's probably is not an exaggeration as you think it is. And it's just really this corrupt field. And because no one questions it, and you appear to be anti-health if you do, anti-science if you do, and everyone's just been cowed into submission about it, they get away with overpricing everything and making huge, egregious profits off sickness, but only if you have insurance. That's why it gets so expensive when you don't. And that's also why if you don't have insurance, they are very eager to settle with you for paying your medical bills for fees much lower than what the bill says. It's because they get money, the money that they charge you for is just so astronomically much more than what the fees are actually, than what the services were actually worth. That's why they're willing to settle for much less, because they have a huge, huge window with which to settle in and still reap a huge, an obscene profit. So it's easy to see that this industry, with seeing new customers as the trans community, they really want to expand that. It was like less than 1% of people were actually trans. And of those people who at some point decided that they were trans, 40% regretted having the surgeries. And of the people who are trans, who claim to be trans before the age of 18, 90% of them decided, no, actually, I was wrong. I'm not trans at all, it turns out. So it's like, out of the initial population under 18 who decides that they are trans, 90% back out. And then of the 10% left, 40% regret it. And the pharmaceutical industry really doesn't like that, because that cuts into their bottom line. And after their obscene profits that they got from the COVID vaccine, which made a failing company Moderna into the top billionaires on the planet overnight, well, they're using that money to influence some other areas that are going to lead to profit. Because what's more profitable than inflating that number of that one percentage point of people who are trans into, say, 5%? Boy, increase your profit five times there. Increase the number of For Life customers five times there, because you will need those pharmaceutical products for the rest. You are a long-term customer to them. It is perfect. And there is no way to, according to that science has figured out, that nature has figured out, to actually make someone permanently transition and take them off hormones for the rest of their lives. The human body is built to be what it is born as, not what science chemically induces it to become. So those people will be customers for life. And unlike, you know, cancers or the common cold or other illnesses, there is no point really at which you can say, okay, this person is cured now, air quotes around that word. They will always need to be coming back for those hormones. So this is a very profitable future industry. So that's why you see a lot of this activism going on. But I didn't get into quite how this would lead to pedophilia. And I've got about 2 minutes left, so I got to get back to that real quick. You're saying that a three-year-old knows who they are sexually attracted to and what gender they are. That's the whole thrust of this, saying that. Well, it stands to reason that if you know all that, you're mature enough to decide who you can have sex with. And gee whiz, look at the Health and Human Services employee there, Rachel Levine, saying that you need to find that one supportive adult to help you through if your parents aren't going to help you transition. This just seems like severe grooming right there. Yeah, go find a groomer and let them have fun with you. And then you have also all this pedophilia that's being taught in the schools, sexually explicit books, so much so that Congress actually has to work out legislation to stop those books from being in our schools. It was a problem unthinkable. That's why there was no legislation beforehand. It was absolutely unthinkable that such stuff would be in our schools. Why would you need legislation? What kind of sicko would do this kind of crap? The Democrats, apparently, and you know they're going to oppose this legislation. Just watch. It's not going to get through. They control the Senate and the presidency, and they want kids to see this material. Why? Why would they want kids to see pornographic material in their schools? Why would they want them to be twerked on by adult drag queens in lingerie? Why would they want kids to be told that they are sexually mature at the age of three? What other possibility could there be? Now, maybe the average rank-and-file Democrat would be horrified at this. I'm frankly, I have my doubts about that. They claim to be the more intelligent ones, so surely they know where their party is going, right? I've seen plenty of them on the interwebs, in the comment sections, and on the television, talking about how superior their intellect is and how much more compassionate and stuff they are than the knuckle dragon Republicans. So surely they know where this is going, right? If I can spot it, they can, right? Up to you folks to make up your minds on this, I guess. I'm not a mind reader, but I don't like where it's going. I don't like the direction it's taking. Pedophilia supported by the pharmaceutical industry? Ugh. More Silker Joe Show after this break.
Heart disease is the number one cause of death in the U.S. for men and women and continues to increase. Due to the often invisible risk factors, 1 in 5 heart attacks occur with no recognizable signs or warning. With the sports season heating up, heart attack risk can more than double when your favorite team is playing. February is American Heart Month, and Hall of Fame tight end Tony Gonzalez shares how fans and non-fans alike can assess their risk factors and prioritize their health.
Awareness is key. We're re-encouraging all sports fans to learn about their personal heart risk factors as their favorite sports season heats up so they can keep their hearts in the game. Bayer Aspirin has partnered with digital health company Huma to develop the Bayer Aspirin Heart Risk Assessment Tool. The tool quickly assesses an individual's personal risk of developing cardiovascular disease over the next 10 years so that they can discuss their heart health risk factors with a healthcare professional as part of an ongoing health management.
Learn more and assess your risk factors at checkyourheartrisks.com.
According to the new State of Security Preparedness 2023 study released by Avanti, approximately half of respondents said they are very prepared to meet the growing threat landscape, but expected safeguards are ignored a third of the time, and leaders are actually 4 times more likely to be victims of phishing compared to office workers. Avanti CEO Jeff Abbott.
Avanti surveyed 6,500 executive leaders, cybersecurity professionals, and office workers globally to understand the perception of today's cybersecurity threats and to find out how companies are preparing for next-generation cyber terror threats. The overwhelming majority of security professionals and leaders, 97%, told us their organizations are as prepared or more prepared today than 1 year ago. However, the threat of the unknown is as real as ever. In fact, only 1 in 5 of those same cybersecurity professionals would wager a chocolate bar on the state of their readiness.
To learn more, visit avanti.com/cybersecurityreport.
What is dedication?
I am the father of a 9-year-old little girl and a 6-year-old little boy, and I find fatherhood both relentlessly challenging and relentlessly rewarding. My daughter is biological and my son is adopted. I love them both so much, from the morning when you wake up to putting them to bed at night and every moment in between. It really is so special, and boy, is it exhausting. One thing that I fear about being a parent is the future for my children. I think a parent's job is to protect our children, but also prepare them for the world so they become good, kind human beings. But I'm also hopeful that the future holds a more inclusive and compassionate world for them.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
My baby brother, a father.
Come on, it's time for his nap.
Whoa, he can't sleep on his stomach. Babies should always sleep on their backs in a safety-approved crib, and the sleep area should be clear of blankets, toys, and other loose or soft items. It reduces the risk of SIDS.
SIDS?
You know, sudden infant death syndrome.
Guess I need to start studying up on safe sleep for little man here. Being his favorite uncle comes with big responsibilities.
For more information, visit safetosleep.nichd.nih.gov. Sponsored by the Eunice Kennedy Shriver National Institute of Child Health and Human Development. You want to give your baby everything, so start with a safe sleep area. Babies younger than 1 should always be placed to sleep on their backs on a firm and flat surface, like a safety-approved crib. And keep blankets, pillows, and other soft or loose items out of the crib when the baby is in it. Learn more about safe sleep for babies at safetosleep.nichd.nih.gov. Sponsored by the Eunice Kennedy Shriver National Institute of Child Health and Human Development.
Hi, it's Practical Polly's radio show. If you're just figuring out that healthier cooking oils are better than solid fats, you may be asking, now what am I going to do with all these tubs of lard? Ever had one of those moments when your favorite skinny jeans feel too tightly tailored? Generously apply lard to your hips and thighs, and those fancy pants will slide on like a dream. Or here's a family-friendly idea. How about making your yard into a lard fun park? Frost your driveway with a nice thick coating and give those kiddos a downhill thrill no matter what time of year. Having a bad hair day? Yep. A little lump of lard can tame your flyaways in a jiffy. So there's no need for that lard to go to waste or to your waste. But get your best heart-healthy trade-up with healthier oils, like canola, olive, or other vegetable oils, which can actually lower your chances for heart disease. Now that's a tip worth keeping for life. Learn more at heart.org/facethefats. Canola Info is the national supporter of the American Heart Association's Face the Fats campaign.
Welcome back to the Silk or Joe Show, everybody. Thank you for sticking with us through this hour. We're joined now by Craig Bannister. He's responsible for media relations, public relations, and marketing campaigns at CNS News. Craig, always happy to have you. How are you today?
Yes. Hi. Good morning.
Good morning.
A lot happening in the news today.
Absolutely. But we're talking now about the Biden administration Joe Biden himself actually pledging to take millions of barrels of oil off the road. That seems counterintuitive to what he's doing with leaking the strategic oil reserve so that he can put millions of barrels of oil onto the road. What's going on here?
Well, maybe that's what he plans on doing, taking them off the road and selling them to China. It really is impressive. Possibly he's just reading off the teleprompter, but someone had to type that up. And it's a comment that a prediction that promise he's made in the past, as far back as October of 2021. He was speaking yesterday this week to the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers, and he was touting all the new charging stations they're going to be making around the U.S. that is going to take people off the road, in theory, and also touting these high-speed rail systems to come that are going to take people off the road. And in that way, he believes he's going to take billions of barrels of oil and also cars off the road, well, for you or I. Of course, the elites will still be chauffeured around in gas-powered cars, much like Al Gore, who, as you know, is infamous for just leaving the car running, burning gas and belching the CO2 while he's giving a speech. Again, it's like the COVID lockdown where Nancy Pelosi is getting her hair done. Democrats are hugging each other and taking pictures. Things that you or I or other Americans weren't allowed to do.
And just at the the World Economic Forum conference, I think it was, where all those people are out there talking about, all the elites of society and government are talking about banning electric cars or banning gas cars for the average person. According to the chauffeurs up there, they all refused to be driven in an electric car. They all wanted to be driven in gas cars.
Well, yes, probably because of the added the comfort, the safety, and the reliability. If there's a heavy rain, their car's battery won't explode, and if they're in a gas-powered car, they don't have to worry about running out of electricity on their way to here and there. And remember, also, they're taking their private planes to get to these events.
Yeah, absolute hypocrisy from the top. It just seems more like they want to create a further class division than it does they actually care about the environment.
Well, it certainly seems to be like that. I think you find the same thing happening with this ESG movement, environmental, social, and governance. I think a lot of that, again, it's going to be rules for thee, but not for me. As far as Biden taking cars and barrels of oil off the road, and even forcing people onto rail systems, it really is an issue of the National Automobile Dealers Association used to term freedom of mobility. The ability of Americans to be able to go where they want, when they want, as they want. And even if these high-speed rails come into being that are going to get people from here to there for, at 150 miles an hour, which is also problematic and maybe not all that safe given what we've seen happen in Ohio, there's also the added time and cost of being beholden to the rail company's schedule, getting there, parking, waiting around in the snow and sleet for the train to arrive, and then getting to your destination once you get to the stop. Those are all cost factors that go into the decision of whether or not you're just going to get in your car and go where you want to go. Just like Joe Biden or Nancy Pelosi, or whether you're going to map out your life according to this rail company's schedule and add that extra time in, factor that extra time in order to avail yourself of their services.
And there seems to be a hint of corruption to this, too. Because the Biden administration is talking about giving $7.5 billion in government subsidies to the auto manufacturers in order to work out building the charging stations across the country, and what are they going to do with that money? It reminds me of when they gave them subsidy, or when they gave people subsidies for buying vehicles. What was it, last year, the year before? And the auto manufacturers marked up their prices by that exact amount that the subsidies cost.
Well, again, that's one of the facets of the free market system. But as I have said, lo, these many years, if it really was a better product, you wouldn't have to outlaw the competition or mandate that people buy it.
Absolutely. Yeah, it just seems like this push for green energy is coming prematurely. There hasn't been enough devoted to researching it to make it workable yet, but the elites are like, well, we don't care. We want this done right now because our friends get millions of dollars, we get millions of dollars, and we don't really care that it doesn't work or not. We've seen problems in the power grid already as it is, and they're talking about adding 500,000 electric vehicle charging stations to our overburdened power grid.
It's a matter of putting ideology over practicality.
All right. Final word on that, Craig Bannister of CNS News. Folks, you can just go to cnsnews.com, check out his reporting, because we are done with you for today. Thanks for tuning into the Silk or Joe Show. You can find out more about us at mainstreetradionetwork.com, and we are also on Getter, GETTR.com, at Silk or Joe Show. Be seeing you.
The opinions you hear on the Main Street Radio Network are those of the host, callers, and guests, and not necessarily those of the station, Main Street Radio Network, its management, or advertisers. The information on the Main Street Radio Network does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or securities. So please, consult a professional before investing. If you have any questions or comments about Main Street Radio Network, contact us at 703-719-0433 or at our website, mainstreetradionetwork.com.